Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
Good evening and welcome. It is lovely to be back with you again with another Live on Air at the Irish programme here on Talk Radio Europe. And before I go anywhere else, can I just say, wow, wow, our new studios are just fabulous. I'm sure you've heard lots about it throughout the day today. You'll be hearing lots more as well, but absolutely stunning new studios at Talk Radio Europe. I'm going to look forward to being nice and cosy and comfy here. Right, I've got a slightly different programme for you this week. We don't have any input from George Lee and we don't have any input from Peter O'Dwyer. We're just Brexited out, and schedules for myself and George just made it impossible this week. But if you do want to hear the rantings of two elderly gentlemen, he and I am talking about, there is one on emeraldconnection.net. Our sponsors have one up there from over the weekend, so you're more than welcome to take a listen to that if you would like. But we do have this week some famous birthdays as per usual, people from Ireland who are celebrating, or indeed were just maybe marking their birthdays this coming week. We'll have a little bit of a history lesson. We have a great, no, in fact, we have a regal anecdote from Patricia Traynor. Lovely story she remembers from her childhood. Shane O'Shea is going to be talking to us about the newly established Irish network Andalus. And I'll be talking to a Spanish man by the name of Alfonso Blanco, who has been living in Ireland for the past 15 years. He is the president of the Association of Spanish Researchers in Ireland. And I'll be talking to him about his move to Ireland and indeed about the association as well. There'll be some wonderful music in there as per usual. And it's all Irish or from Irish artists. As always, if you would like to get in touch with the programme, you can email me at any stage, GER at TRE.radio. Will we start with the birthdays? Nothing of note today, the 15th of April, but tomorrow, Tuesday, the 16th of April, Eamon Rodgers celebrates his 72nd birthday, former Irish international football player, born in Dublin in 1947. John Millington Synge, oh, he broke our hearts going to school, poet and playwright. Born in Dublin back in 1871. On Wednesday, it's the 17th of April, Rosanna Davidson, the Irish model, born in Dublin 1984. She's 35 years old on Wednesday. She won the Miss World competition back in 2003. She's also the daughter of singing legend Chris de Burgh. Brendan Kennelly, poet, born in Ballylongford in County Kerry. Unfortunately, no longer with us, but he was born in 1936 on the 17th of April. And Michael Babs Keating, born in Ardfinnan in County Limerick in 1944. Babs would be mostly associated with the Tipperary hurling team. Thursday, the 18th of April, Michael D. Higgins, President Michael D. Higgins, Uachtaráin na hÉireann, was born in Limerick in 1941, so he'll be celebrating his 78th birthday on Thursday. And Avril Doyle, the Fine Gael politician from Dublin, born in 1941, is 70 years old. I can't imagine Avril Doyle being 70, to be honest. I suppose maybe growing up with her, watching her on television, always seemed to be a relatively young woman. Friday, the 19th of... Okay, there's 70-year-olds shouting at the radio, saying 70 is young. All right, okay. Friday is the 19th of April, and Tom Dunn, broadcaster and singer from Something Happens, was born in Dublin 59 years ago, 1960. And Dennis O'Brien, entrepreneur, very seldom out of the news headlines for various reasons. Well, he was born in Cork in 1958. He'll be celebrating 61 years on the planet on Friday. Saturday is the 20th. Shay Given, Irish international goalkeeper, born in Lifford in County Donegal back in 1976, so he will be celebrating his 43rd birthday. Peter Snow, the British broadcaster from Channel 4 News particularly, was born in Dublin in 1938. He's 81, Peter Snow. Conor Murray, Munster and Ireland rugby player, born in Limerick in 1989, so we say happy 30th birthday to him. And Alan Jukes, former Fine Gael leader, born in Dublin in 1945. He's 74 years old this week, and we often hear Alan Jukes on Irish radio, and indeed see him on Irish TV as well, commentating on various political issues. Our final birthday for this week, Sunday next, the 21st of April, which of course is Easter Sunday. Glenn Hansard, singer from Dublin, was born in that year, 1970. He's 49 years old, so there'll be a big party next year for Glenn Hansard, and I'd say plenty of good singing as well. Some of the birthdays for this week on the programme. And of course, we like to draw our first song of the day from our birthday list if possible. And it is, because next Sunday is Glenn Hansard's birthday. Here he is with a gorgeous song with Markita Irglova. It's a song called Falling Slowly on Live on Era, brought to you in association with emeraldconnection.net.
Ger Sweeney presents Live on Era in association with emeraldconnection.net. Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with emeraldconnection.net.
Now, we always like to try and keep up to date with what's happening, particularly in relation to events surrounding and around Irish people. But this is more than an event. It's a new network. It's the Irish Network Andalus. And you met previously on the programme a man by the name of Shane O'Shea. And when I spoke to Shane, we were talking about his own story and how he had come from Waterford and various places in the Middle East and ended up in Spain and what he was doing and the music and all sorts of things like that. And we touched very briefly on a new Irish network. He joins me on the line right now. Shane, nice to talk to you again.
You too, John. Thanks for talking to us.
Not at all. You're a very busy man at the minute with this new Irish network, Andalus. Will you tell us about it, please, Shane?
Well, indeed, the Irish Network Andalus, we've started to try and bring together two or three already amazing groups of Irish people and societies that are already in existence on the Costa del Sol to try and support them. So our goals basically are fourfold. We want to engage more in visual and performing arts, cross-cultural activities between Ireland and Spain. We want to support the development of more sports through the GAA and maybe some rugby, etc.
Okay.
We want to engage in charity work. And then our fourth area that we want to be involved in, obviously, is a business networking opportunity for all those involved. So that's basically the four pillars we're going to build the Irish Network Andalus on.
Okay. And where are you at with it right now?
$64 million question. we're in the throes of it, thick and fast. We have about 250 sign-ups already, emails into us, that people want to be on our database to receive our newsletters every month.
We're in the process of setting up the monthly events, which will range from golf outings to whiskey tasting, wine tasting, coffee mornings. We'll fly in authors, sports stars, film directors, whatever from Ireland and other countries, and be guest speakers at some of our evening dinners, whatever. But the main event that we're working toward at the moment is the launch of the Irish Network Andalus, which will be a black tie ball.
Lovely.
In the Kempinski Hotel on April 27th. Guest of honour being the Irish ambassador to Spain, Sheila Maguire. So that's going to be a phenomenal event, filled with music, fine food, fine wine, the works. It's going to be a great launch. And hopefully by then we'll have some of the other events in place to share with people on the night.
And all of these events will be based around culture and trying to promote the cultures between Ireland and Spain and the connections. And if you're going to be flying authors in and musicians in, how's that going to be funded?
Again, that's another great question. Initially, we will have to try and fund by ticket sales.
Right.
People just coming along. So we would hope that if we have an Irish musician coming in, for example, to perform, be it classical or whatever, that the Irish community would come along to one or two of the events that are being offered. I have a vast network through my music area of people that I can bring in.
Right.
So we have the contacts and we have the people to bring in. It's a matter of, as you say, how do you fund it? In time, we will look at some corporate sponsorship towards specific events. I mean, the Irish Society, or Irish Network Andalus, is it's a not-for-profit organization. So we are going to go from event to event. If you make €50 on something, that will be then put straight back into building a website or promoting all the network itself. It's a long-term process.
And is this geared towards the Irish people or people with an interest in Ireland who are based along the Costa del Sol, or is it for anybody?
It's for anybody. I mean, we call it the Irish Network Andalus because primarily I'm Irish and there's a lot of Irish people down on the Costa del Sol.
Yeah.
But it's for anybody, obviously. Anybody that has an interest in the four pillars of us developing sports or visual and performing arts, charity and business networking, just come along and be a part of it. We'll also engage musicians and artists from other countries, so it's not just going to be Irish. I mean, the world is too small, as we all know now, Ger.
Yeah.
To isolate ourselves as just an Irish network would not be, I don't think that would be that positive. It's a global idea just with the title of Irish being in it.
At the moment, you have about 250 people that would subscribe to the newsletter, which I know I'm one of those, and it's coming out to me. There has been good reaction to it then up to now?
Yes, we're getting a lot of comments back from people that are writing saying, I'm really sorry, can't come to the ball, but a wonderful initiative.
Yeah.
Please keep us posted. So I've received at least 20 to 30 emails of that kind, of people saying, this is fantastic, just what's needed. Keep us posted. Thank you very much.
Right.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of positive feedback.
And in relation to any organization or any network like this, it takes a number of people to keep it moving all the time, but it also takes somebody at the helm. You're obviously that person at the helm, but have you got some wingmen and wing women there to help you with it?
Yes. I mean, I'm the guilty one at the helm, as you say, the captain trying to steer the ship. So on the ship, we have a few mates. We have Ross Duggan from the Hogan Bar. We've got Justine Haughey from the Kempinski Hotel. We've got Victor Rock, an Irish person that comes over an awful lot, relative of Vicky Rock, the famed singer.
All right, okay.
We've got Anita North from Holland. She's coming on to help us with PR and marketing. We've got Mary Bloomfield. She is an Irish lady who's an insurance company there in El Rosario. So we're building like that, like volunteers, people that are just interested in trying to help us get out there and share this and spread it. It's not easy for me to work this, but it's easier than most, purely because I can link it very well to what I do with Project Music. It's very similar in certain respects. You're on the road, you're meeting people, you're checking venues, you're setting up events. So it's not a big throw from one to the other, if you know what I mean. It's not like a huge amount of extra work.
Excellent. Now, I know that you're mostly based in around the Marbella area, but this is all about the length and breadth of the Costa del Sol, really, isn't it?
Completely. I mean, that's in the title. When we first discussed titles, we were looking at Marbella, we were looking at specific titles like the Irish Network Marbella, whatever that might be. Then we got feedback from a lot of Irish people that were outside Marbella, and they were basically saying, look, we'd be nicer if you had a more encompassing title, one that would make people outside of Marbella feel that they could be really involved in it. So thus, the Irish Network Andalus.
Excellent. And you'd be bringing events to different areas as well?
That's the idea.
Yeah.
As we grow. I mean, it's going to take us, Ger, a good 12 months to get up and running.
Oh, absolutely.
And to test the water and see what people want. I mean, it's very much... We would love people to email us or first sign up and say, like, we want to receive your newsletters, but let us know what kind of events they would like. We've already been requested to organize a family day because there's a huge amount of Irish families and other nationalities and their families over in Spain, and do a big party day for the kids with the bouncy castles, music, and that kind of thing. So keep the suggestions going. We'll try and do our utmost to deliver within reason on what we can with some good positive suggestions that come in.
And when you mention names like Mary Bloomfield, I presume that there is an association or there's going to be a connection between yourselves and the Spanish-Irish Business Network. You're talking about the Irish ambassador to Spain, Sheila Maguire, coming down to officially launch the network. So there's a connection in Madrid there with the embassy. So it's about making contacts and networking and growing it, isn't it?
Well, that's exactly why network's in the title, Ger. I mean, we're right out there. We want to make networks with the networks in Spain and Madrid, with the embassy and anybody else, and link up with Danish community, link up with the Norwegian community. We can do co-events, joint events. I mean, there's no limit to it. The bottom line is to try and offer diversity for people that have decided to live down on the Costa del Sol or visitors that pop in, and give them a taste of home or something different for them to do. There's plenty of options out there, as we know already, loads of societies and loads of amazing things happening on the Costa.
That's right.
So we'll try and offer something a little different, and we listen to what people are asking us to offer them and try and deliver.
Two more questions for you, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
I presume that you will be marking specific Irish days, and the one that springs to mind will be St. Patrick's Day. So you'll be up and running almost 12 months next year. Have you thought about what you might do?
Like I said at the beginning, we're not coming in to compete or offer a perceived threat to any other Irish groups that are doing things.
Absolutely.
So what we'd like, St. Patrick's weekend is already firmly established in Marbella with the Clada Bar, and they do tremendous work with Otti and the Marbella Tourism Board.
Yeah.
What we'd love to do is just come in and support them.
Excellent.
Advertise out, promote, and help them in what they're doing. And same with in Benalmádena and Torremolinos with the St. Patrick's Day parades. We'll come and help. We will just advertise out. We'll contact the people, the organisers, and share with them what we're trying to do. But it's essentially help them and promote them and maybe ease their workload a bit through a larger, wider network.
Great.
Same with Bloomsday and whatever way we can help. We're not going to offer alternatives. We're just going to go in and support existing things.
Yeah, because Bloomsday, 16th of June. And you do know that there's a reading on the beach in Fuengirola on the 16th of June every year.
Exactly. Yeah. And I believe it's read in a few different languages.
Yes.
And I have to contact the people that organize it. So I will be when I get back to Spain next week. Somebody, I think it may have been you, Ger, told me that they were looking for somebody to read in
Irish.
Well, I found someone.
Oh! Roger Comiskey organizes that particular event. He will be thrilled to hear, because he's been looking for a long time for people to read a passage from Ulysses Osgoelga.
This person I've already mentioned it to. He's in the GAA in the Costa Gaels on the coast.
Really?
He's fluent.
Wow.
Loves his trad, loves the music and the language and everything. He said he'd be delighted to get involved and to read a chapter or whatever. So
The network is working already. The network is working already. And finally...
That's part of it too. Yep.
Finally, Shane, last question for you. How do people get in touch with you? How do they express an interest? And just to say to you, obviously, if the people want to connect through me, I'd be happy to pass on their details to you and vice versa. So tell me how we can contact you directly.
And thank you. And also, Ger, for all your support. And then you're setting up a great network also.
That's why we're here.
Together, we'll be fantastic. Yeah. Email is the easiest way at the moment, which is the Irish Network Andalus. And Andalus is spelled A-N-D-A-L-U-Z, Andalus with a Z, at gmail.com.
Excellent
That's
stuff.
That's the easiest way to get through to us. In time, Facebook page, Instagram, website will all be done. But at the moment, we're just aiming for this fall on the 27th of April and pushing through as much as we can to that point and just have a great party and a great launch and some networking and everything else begin on that evening.
And if somebody would like to attend the Black Tie launch, they can contact you through that email and they can arrange tickets.
Exactly, and that would be perfect. We'll put them on a table. We already have about 9 tables filled, I believe, about 90 people coming, which is superb.
Fantastic.
It's a good start, and this will grow, as we know, if we just put the time and effort in, and if there's positive support from the community, just to come along. And let's all have fun. That's the bottom line.
Magic stuff. Well, Shane, we wish you the very best of luck with the Irish Network Andalus. And thank you for talking to us today. And again, if there is anything we can do on Live on Air, do please let us know and we'll be happy to help out.
Thanks a million, Gerard.
Living.
That's a cracking song. It comes from Imelda May. That's a song called Good to Be Alive. Indeed it is. Let's do a very quick break and come back to me just after that. We'll have a little bit of a history lesson. And of course, we'll be talking or listening to a wonderful story, a great anecdote from her childhood from Patricia Traynor. Don't go anywhere, please.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net. Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
Welcome back. Let's take a look at some of the stories that made headlines around the world about Ireland, or maybe indeed even in Ireland. On this day, the 15th of April, back in 1864, the first Dublin Horse Show was held. In 1974, the 78th Boston Marathon was won by Neil Cusick of County Limerick. He did that in a time of 2 hours, 13 minutes and 39 seconds. He was the first Irishman to win the race, I remember. Remember that well. 2001, hundreds of people greet the relics of St. Thérèse of Lisieux at Rosslare. That's Rosslare Port for the start of a 75-day tour of the country. I remember that well too. Tomorrow is the 16th of April. On that day, back in 1752, the first regular stagecoach service between Dublin and Belfast commenced. In 1782, the Irish Parliament declared its independence from the English Parliament. It didn't work out too well at the time. 1970, on that day, Protestant right-winger the Reverend Ian Paisley won a seat in the Northern Ireland Parliament. Wednesday is the 17th of April, and back in 1969 on that day, Bernadette Devlin was elected MP for Mid-Ulster, standing as the Independent Unity candidate. At 21 years old, she was Britain's youngest ever female MP and the third youngest MP ever. In the year 2000, on that date, new licensing laws went into effect, which gave drinkers an extra half hour in the pub. On that day in 2003, sunset in Belfast Port made a historic occasion as the tricolour and the Royal Navy's white ensign were flown or lowered together. The Irish Naval Service's LE Etna and Britain's HMS Tyne both exchanged personnel for the ceremonial event as both fishery patrol vessels berth side by side at Queen's Bay in the heart of the Northern Capital. The 5-day Belfast engagement for the LE Etna marked the first ever visit to a six counties port by an Irish Navy boat. Thursday is the 18th of April, and on that day in 1689, the Siege of Derry began. In 1690, five regiments of Irishmen sailed for France and formed the nucleus of France's Irish Brigade. 1949, the Republic of Ireland withdrew from the British Commonwealth. The British Parliament recognised the declaration but asserts sovereignty over the six northern counties. Ireland does not recognise that claim. In the year 2000, RTE confirmed that Glenrose Mary McAvoy was to be killed off in a dramatic fashion. For 17 years, she had played the role of Biddy Byrne. I remember all of the excitement about that 19 years ago. Friday is the 19th of April. Back in 1969, fierce rioting broke out in Derry after the RUC ban a civil rights march from Burntollet Bridge. 1972, Lord Widgery's report exonerating Bloody Sunday troops was issued. And in the year 2001, Jenny Hegarty, a 72-year-old Dublin grandmother, takes on a host of international players and won £10,000 at the Irish and European Open Poker Championship. Fair play to Jenny Hegarty at 72 years old. Saturday is the 20th of April, Easter Saturday this year. 1608, on that day, James I granted a licence to the old Bushmills distillery in County Antrim, which is thought to date from at least 1276, the oldest distillery in the world. 1912, the death of Dublin writer Bram Stoker, the creator of Dracula. 1954, Michael Manning became the last man to be executed by the state in the Republic of Ireland. He was hanged on that date, the 20th of April, 1954, at Mountjoy Jail in Dublin for the murder of a nurse. If my memory serves, or if my history is good enough, I think that murder took place in Castletroy in Limerick. 1991, Sean O'Fallon, the writer, died at the age of 91. He is best known for his short stories, collected in such volumes as Midsummer Night Madness, The Man Who Invented Sin, The Heat of the Sun, and The Talking Trees. Easter Sunday, next Sunday, the 21st of April, and on the 21st of April in 1901, the death took place of James Stephens, Kilkenny-born founder of the Irish Republican Brotherhood. There you go, little history lesson for you, and we're going to go to some music, and we're going to go to some music with a band that has consigned itself to history as of the last couple of weeks. The Irish indie band called Little Green Cars broke up about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Formed back in Dublin in 2008, the band announced in a statement posted on Twitter that they had come to the end of the road and were disbanding. There has been no terrible calamity, no heartless betrayal, and no punches thrown, the band said in their post. Rather, it simply feels like it's the right thing for us both personally and artistically. The band, comprising members Steve Appleby, Theo Rourke, Adam O'Regan, Donna Seaver O'Leary and Dylan Lynch. Little Green Cars released their debut album Absolute Zero back in 2013, and that was followed up in 2016 by Ephemera. Let's take a track from them to remember Little Green Cars.
My love took me down to the river to silence me. And when he left, I could not speak.
There we go, that's Little Green Cars and a song that is called My Love Took Me Down to the River. Let's go to Patricia Traynor.
We were talking about the Prince of Ulster as being O'Neill, Hugh O'Neill. When I was young and I was doing history at school, I was really interested in this idea that Hugh O'Neill had been the Prince of Ulster. And then I began to think and I thought to myself, wait a minute, my grandmother is O'Neill? That means that really we're related to them. And I said, you know, if there hadn't been wars and things, we would really be the royal family. And so I went in the middle of the night and woke my brothers up and said, listen, I've just realised, I've just worked it out. You're really princes and we're princesses. And they sort of said, oh, yeah, all right, go back to sleep. They weren't at all enthusiastic about it, but I was really enthusiastic. In the morning, I came down really early. I decided if I'm a princess, I've got to polish my shoes, something I never did. And I'm going to get into school really early. I walked with my head high up, thinking, yes, I've got to walk like a queen. And I went into the class and I said to the girl beside me, I've got something very important to tell you. And she said, what? I said, I'm a princess. And she said, oh, go on, you're not a princess. I am a princess, I said. don't you realise we were doing about the Battle of Kinsale and about Hugh O'Neill? Well, you know something? My grandmother is an O'Neill. Now, I expected her to collapse on the spot, but no, she didn't. She said, no, that's not that. That's rubbish. And I said, I am a princess. And from now on, if you want to talk to me, you have to say, Your Majesty, and you have to bow. And she said, I'm not going to do that. I said, you have to if you want to talk to me. So during the morning, she needed the loan of a pencil. And she said, give us a pencil. And I looked at her and said, and she said, oh, Your Majesty, give us a pencil. I said, and the bow? So she had to bow and I gave her the pencil. And then a little bit later, she needed a pencil sharpener. And so she said, oh, Your Majesty, give me a pencil sharpener. And the bow? Okay, and she had to bow. When the poor girl, she couldn't stand it. And in the end, she went and she complained to the teacher and she said, Miss, Patricia Traynor says she's a princess and every time we speak to her, we have to say, Your Majesty, and we have to bow. And I stood up regally and I said, it's true, I am a princess. And the teacher said to me, what do you mean you're a princess? And I said, well, my grandmother is an O'Neill. Now, I expected her to suddenly collapse. And she said, so? I said, well, don't you realise she is one of the heirs of the kingdom of O'Neills? And therefore, I am a princess. If it wasn't for the wars, my family would be the royal family. And she said, right. She says, and I'm an O'Donnell, and he's an O'Shea, and he's an O'Rourke, and she's a McMurrah, and we're all princes and princesses here. Sit down and stop that nonsense. So I'm afraid that was the shortest reign in Irish history.
One beautiful day, when we were young, then we had spring on our side, and love didn't hide from the sun. On with the years, then came the tears, and as we learned how to cry, our beautiful day passes by. We used to live only for love, a little world below and heaven above. Yes, we were. Stars of the skies made love to your eyes for dawn. When did we start to drift apart? One day I'll find you and then our love will be young once again.
That would be an appropriate song to follow Patricia's fabulous princess story. That's Pat Lynch and a song that's called When We Were Young. Right, let's do a very quick break. I'll be talking to Alfonso Blanco about the Association of Spanish Researchers in Ireland just after these.
Live on Air, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with emeraldconnection.net. Live on Air, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
As you know, I work very closely with a man called Jose Antonio Sierra, and Jose Antonio acts as a cultural advisor, and he's very much into or in connection with organisations in Ireland. One of those organisations is the Association of Spanish Researchers. And he gave me the name of the man that I should talk to about that. And we're going to talk to him right now, Alfonso Blanco. A very good evening and thank you very much for joining us on the program today. How are you?
Good. Thank you very much for the invitation. I'm talking to your program.
Delighted to have you on board. You're in Ireland at the minute, but let's talk firstly about yourself, if we can. You're Spanish originally. Where are you from?
I born in Seville. Then with 7 years old, I moved to Galicia. That's where my family is from. So I consider myself Galician.
Okay, all right. Talk to me about how you got to Ireland, how you ended up in Ireland.
I finished my degree in biology, then I moved to the PhD master. And then at the end of the PhD, they just suggested a position that is different than a postdoc, that is kind of a technological development. Because I'm Galician, as I say, I like Celtic music and all that kind of stuff. I was always fascinated about the music and say, well, look, why not? So I came to Ireland to the interview, and it was on the same day they offered me the position. It was just half an hour after the interview, just called me. Could you come back? We'll discuss the terms of your contract.
Wow, that was lovely.
That was really quick. Yeah.
And had you been to Ireland previously?
No. It was just my first time to Ireland.
Yeah. Okay. And when you got that phone call to come back and talk about the terms and conditions of the contract, what crossed your mind about moving to Ireland? What did you hope for? What were your expectations?
Well, I was just arriving. I was expecting to see exactly what I found, a really green land. When they called me, I was just in the city center. The core of Dublin is Temple Bar. I was just in the middle of what I was expecting. Afterwards, the things were obviously changing and you're more realistic. And also Ireland in the last, I was here in 2004. Ireland itself in the last 15 years have definitely changed.
It absolutely has. What would be the greatest change that you would have seen in the 15 years that you're there?
It's definitely a multicultural. The good thing is multicultural is more open mind than used to be in terms of the culture. It's quite open in terms of the people that is coming is welcoming all the time. And that makes a big change with another country that you see there. But also I have to say mostly the people is integrating into Ireland, probably because of the Irish character. To be honest,
right.
I think that that's a welcoming, makes you feel well. Big thing, and that's why I have no doubts to move to Ireland, is that you sit in the bus stop or you go to the pub and you will never be quiet. And
yes.
I like talking. You always be talking with someone.
Yeah.
So, it doesn't matter if your English is good or bad. You will be talking with someone.
Yeah.
So your English has to improve. You want or you don't want. It will be improving. So it's a good thing.
And in the 15 years, have you picked up some of the Irish language?
Oh, no.
No?
I try hard. And I'm trying hard now with my son. I have two kids. One is 3, the other one is 8. So one of 8 is learning work at school. And he's teaching me some words and some phrases.
Brilliant.
He's really good.
Excellent.
I'm terrible. I'm still really bad. And I promise you, I'm trying my best. I can say it's long, it's long at, and kind of start to, and those things.
Yeah.
But don't take me out from there.
Do you know what Mohan Bokal means?
Yeah,
it means good boy. Good boy.
Good boy.
All right. Tell me
things, but no more.
Tell me a little bit about the fantastic and way over my head work that you do at UCD.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, the position I got in 2004 was to establish what is called core service, core facility in different technologies. So we are working in research, in biomedical research. Mainly, what we are doing is One Health in terms of humans, from cancer to Alzheimer, anything related to any disease in humans, but also in animals. We're working with the people in cows or people working with horses and also with agriculture. So it's One Health. And then what we are working is with different technologies that are really, really expensive. We have, for instance, in the lab, instruments that they are going to 100, 1.5 million euros.
Wow.
that makes it quite difficult for the people to get grants to get those instruments. So what the government and the university has done is put these pieces of equipment that are really expensive, that you require an expertise to run, put them, centralize them, and facilitate the access to any researcher in Ireland to this equipment. So I have people come in the first years from Cork, from Galway, because we were the first ones providing the service, coming from all around Ireland to use this technology. When I say all around Ireland, it's also including people from Northern Ireland. We are providing this not just to the universities. We are working with private companies, and they are coming not just for the usage of the technology, also to discuss projects, how we can collaborate in drug development or for improving the other thing we were talking about, improving the quality of the some food supplements.
Okay. So now, the Spanish Researchers of Ireland, there's an association. How did that come about? And are we talking about researchers in the field that you're just talking about, the core technologies?
No.
Okay.
So this is a crazy idea from the Spanish ambassador, the previous ambassador, that was Maria Rodriguez Coso. The Spanish Day on the 12th of October, he was talking with some of the Spanish that they are researchers, especially with the previous president, Ignacio Martín Loeches. Mm-hmm. How many Spanish are doing the research in Ireland? Oh, we don't know. And why you don't put together and you establish a network and you complement each other and you try to work together and right. develop programs and try to make links between Ireland and Spain? So that was back in 2015. In February 2016, we joined and we established the society, the Spanish Research Society in Ireland, with that aim, basically, to look for the promotion of research. And when I say research, development and innovation, it's not just for the mathematics and physics and biology. It also includes languages or include art, music,
okay.
anything. So we're looking for not just that we complement each other in terms of mathematics, we look for multidisciplinary projects. We are trying to help either to Spanish colleagues to translate material into different languages.
Okay.
The beauty of Ireland is that we have practically all the nationalities here, so we have access to all the different kind of people that could help us for the translation of material from Spanish into any other thing. But also we are developing programs for kids as well. We want to teach our next generation into Spanish. So we are developing as well some kind of aspects where we are linking their research and explaining them with plain language what we are doing and why we are doing it.
Right.
And one of the programs is we are trying to translate to Irish, to Huelga, material that has been done by some groups in Spain for kids, dedicated for the kids, and we can integrate that material into the Irish schools.
Lovely. That sounds absolutely fascinating. And is this association, does it comprise researchers from all over the country, or are you mainly Dublin-based?
No, we are trying to do it all around Ireland. Again,
great.
We are. The problem is that because we are basically here in Dublin, all the factories are here.
Yeah.
We have Institute of Cervantes based here. Or mostly of our activities are based here. But we have, for instance, done last year a networking event with some coaching about how to prepare your CV or how you go through an interview. We have done it in Cork. Was quite successful. And
great.
We are trying to do more things, like there's a group in Cork with translation. So we are trying to engage with them as well.
Excellent. Okay. So would you have close connections then with the group, have associations with the Spanish Embassy in Dublin?
Yeah, absolutely. What I want to make sure is that it's clear that we have connections with the Spanish Embassy. We have connections with the Spanish Ministry of Education and Jobs now. But it's a connection that is just a connection. Nobody is directing us in our
I have you.
We are absolutely independent. And we were absolutely supported by the Spanish Embassy in many, many aspects. We are not related to them.
You're not part of the embassy.
Yeah. Highly supported from the Spanish Embassy.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear. It's always nice when your home embassy will support something that you're doing, isn't it?
It makes a huge difference.
Mm.
They're similar societies to us. We find out later on that there are certain, well, now we are 17 different societies similar to ours, and not in all of them are fully supported by the embassy.
Okay.
And it makes a big difference.
It does make a
difference. Because the connections that the embassy provided us, for instance, we are connected now with the Association of Spanish Parents in Ireland, or with the Spanish group that is for entrepreneurs.
And
yes. So Círculo de Emprendedores Españoles in Irlanda, or with, there's another one that's called ISEA, the Ireland-Spain Economic Association, or the Consejo Residente Españoles in Ireland. All of these was through the Spanish Embassy, and of course with Instituto Cervantes. But also we are connected with very top-of-the-range companies like SEA, Naturgy, Grifols,
right.
All those companies that they are based in Ireland. And we have been connected through the Spanish Embassy, or because we were invited to the Spanish Embassy event or something like that. So we are really appreciating the effort from them to support our actions.
Fantastic. Alfonso, it sounds hugely interesting, both your own work that you do and indeed the Association of Spanish Researchers in Ireland. And all I can do is wish you well for the future. And if there's anything that you think we can help you with promotion-wise, please do lift the phone or send an email, and we'd be happy to help out in any way we can.
Perfect. That's great. Definitely we'll keep you in contact, because that would be really, really nice to make that connection later on and expand it.
Great. Lovely. I look forward to that. That is Alfonso Blanco, and he is the president of the Association of Spanish Researchers of Ireland.
Goodbye, my lovely friend. Your bridge is I no more. I hope we'll meet again. I've lost you now for sure. Goodbye, my lovely friend. I love you from the start.
Wonderful voice of Mr. Joe Dolan and a song called Goodbye Venice. That is it. That's my lot for today from our brand spanking shiny new studios. The lap of luxury. That's how we find ourselves at the moment here at Talk Radio Europe. Thank you very much indeed to everybody who took part in the program today. Thanks to Shane. Thank you very much to Alfonso, to Patricia. Thank you as well to our Spanish cultural consultant, that is Jose Antonio Sierra. And you'll hear more from Jose Antonio over the next few weeks. Look after yourselves in the next week. Look forward to being back with you next week. And we'll have George and Peter in tow, hopefully, as well. Until then, from me, Ger Sweeney, have a great week. Look after yourselves and each other. Going to leave you with this. It's a great song from the Dubliners and the Pogues. It's called The Mountain Dew. Good luck now.
Gerard Sweeney presents Live on Era in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
Oh, let the grasses grow and the waters flow in a free and easy way. But give me enough of the rare old stuff that's made near Galway Bay. Come gougers all from Donegal, Sligo and Leitrim too. And we'll give them the slip and we'll take a sip of the Rayla and Mountain Dew.
Skiddy-idle little dumb, skiddy-idle little dumb, skiddy-idle little dumb, day. Skiddy-idle little dumb, skiddy-idle little dumb, skiddy-idle little dumb, day.
There's a night little still at the foot of the hill where the smoke curdles up to the sky. Be a whiff of the smell, you can plainly tell that there's pudgy boys close by. Where it fills the air with a perfume rare and betwixt both me and you. As home we roll, we'll drink a bowl or a bucket full of Mountain Dew.
There's learning men, there's years of pain, they've written your prizes high. The sweet machine from Ireland drink, the sweet from wheat and rye. Go away with your pills, it'll cure all ills from pagan, Christian or Jew. Take off your coat and grease your throat with a bucket full of Mountain Dew. Let the grasses grow and the waters flow in a free and easy way. But give me enough of the rare old stuff that's made near Galway Bay.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.